The Fall of the Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. Sulla and his political measures. With Italy secure and the veterans settled, Sulla turned to Rome. Never again must the city mob presume to exercise sovereignty, especially now that the Roman citizens no longer were concentrated near Rome, but were distributed throughout the Italian peninsula. The power of the urban plebeian had been exercised through their tribunes, who had acquired legislative initiative. Sulla now returned the tribunate to its ancient function, to protect individual plebeian citizens from magisterial abuse. However, since the office of tribune had proved useful to control errant magistrates or to introduce approved legislation, its right to veto and the convening of the tribal assembly were not completely removed, but now would require the prior approval of the Senate. To deter ambitious men from using the office of tribune as a stepping stone to advance career demagogues, Sulla forbade ex-tribunes from holding the higher magistrate offices. In other words, they couldn't become a consul and they couldn't become a praetor. To strengthen Sulla's following, he chose 10,000 of the slaves of the people that he had proscribed and freed them and allowed them to assume his own Gentile name, Cornelii. These new Cornelii became a select corps upon whom Sulla and the Senate could depend to curb urban disturbances and any attempts to subvert his reorganization of the Roman state. So he freed 10,000 slaves and turned them into his 10,000 thugs. The Senate, upon which so much of Rome's future depended, was in poor shape. It had, it was lower in numbers. Many senators were terrible at poor ability. And it was clear that from the magistrates sitting in the Senate and some leaders that were even more dangerous than the Roman state than the tribunes. So to infuse new blood, Sulla added 300 men of the equestrian rank to the Senate. Many of these men were younger members of the senatorial families who were enrolled in the 18 centuries of the Equite Equa Publico. Others would be men of lower social but equal financial rank who had proved their worth in Sulla's armies. Equites equo provato and still others were Sulla's supporters that had been raised to the financial level of the equestrian census simply by acquiring the estates of the proscribed at bargain prices. When all of these new senators were added to the approximately 150 senators left after the proscriptions, the Senate rose to almost 600 members. Sulla wanted to keep the Senate at this new size. He had set the number of quaestors at 20. They would handle the financial administration of the Roman Empire, and people elected to the quaestorship now automatically were then added to the Senate. Sulla calculated that the Senate would become self-perpetuating without the censors making their traditional reviews and additions to senatorial roles. Sulla also increased the number of praetors to 8 so they could better cope with the increased court activity. Sulla revived and revised the ancient rules of office holding to ensure that the magistrates would be mature, responsible, and not tempted towards self-aggrandizement. One had to be a quaestor before being able to hold the praetorship. One had to be a praetor before you could hold the consulship. The minimum age to be a quaestor was 30. The minimum age to be a praetor was 39. And the minimum age to be a consul was 42. In addition, no office could be repeated without waiting 10 years. By these measures, Sulla hoped to eliminate the abuses that the Romans had suffered during the repeat consulships of Marius, Cinna, and Carbo. Of course, not to mention Sulla. Sulla took his reform seriously. When his trusted lieutenant Lucretius Ofelia wished to stand for consul in 81 BC, Sulla forbade it, because he had not yet been either a quaestor or a praetor. Ofila persisted, and Sulla had one of his men kill him in the forum while he was campaigning for office. Sulla did not abolish the censorship, even though they had little to do, since he gave most of their jobs to other magistrates. The Sullan organization of the Roman state brought to an end the popular democratic type of constitution initiated by the Gracchi. It is a reversion to the idealized Rome of 400 to 300 BC. Gone was the tribune's grip on public life through his wide powers of intercession. Gone was the independence of the plebeian assembly. The equestrian jury was abolished. Sulla established 7 permanent courts to handle 7 specific criminal matters: an extortion court, a murder and poisoning court, a forgery and fraud court, embezzlement of public funds court, election bribery court, a treason court, and an assault court. The juries for these courts were drawn from the newly enlarged Senate. Each jury was under a president who was either a praetor or an ex-aedile. Sulla's regularization of the criminal courts was one of the greatest and most lasting contributions that he made to Rome. Interestingly, by transferring the trial for treason and other political crimes from the people to the jury courts, Sulla, in effect, abolished capital punishment for such crimes. For the Roman principle was still observed that only the people and not a jury court could condemn someone to death. So he's basically trying to make sure that the Senate in perpetuity will control Rome. He, and of course, tried to upgrade its clientele, so to speak, and then, of course, made some of these really severe crimes. You know, you can't execute a traitor because he's tried in a court, not by the people. So a lot of this looks, you know, an interesting way of doing it. But, of course, once Sulla dies, obviously everybody's going to try and change things back, and all sorts of things will come into play. And, of course, the obstinate Senate will eventually be its own undoing when they force Pompey, Caesar, and Marcus Licinius Crassus to form a triumvirate to outwit them. Now, the sources for this, which have pretty much been the same ones that I've been using: History of the Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, and The History of the Romans by Born. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.